Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about diversifying your risk with multiple lines of revenue.
We do that.
Just the thought. I know, yeah. We've been doing that for years, so just the thought of it makes me happy.
Can you diversify risk with children somehow? Is there a play on the darn?
That's all pure luck, I'm convinced.
Oh, okay.
I think you have more control over successfully raising a dog than you do a child.
That is probably true. That's very funny.
That so quickly got off of real estate.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and as you're listening, please drop your questions into the comments section below.
Victor asks, does anyone have any experience selling land notes? I'm considering selling some land notes or partial notes to free up some cash for new deals. Most of my notes are around $8,000 with $150 payments. What is standard to ask from a note buyer? Any advice or past experience would be great. Thanks. I love, by the way, some of these questions, how people are just kind of thinking bigger and they're, you know, it's not just that online community is not just about land, but all kinds of other business things that you need to know. Because as a matter of fact, he's talking about a note. It could be a note for a dentist bill or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of notes and a lot of this stuff applies.
Well, let's define what a note is, since that's a perfect place to start. If you're brand new, you may not know, but there's this whole, if you're into real estate investment or any type of financial investment, it's more of a financial investment backed by real estate than anything else, then you know all about this. There's this crazy world out there, and it all is rooted in the association with paper and real estate. So there's all kinds of paper and things that can go right and wrong with the paper part of the real estate, and when you look at the piece of real estate, it looks fine. There's all kinds of things that could be going on in the back end. Ownership problems, clouds of title, people aren't paying their mortgage. Maybe there was a bad mortgage in the first place. All legal issues. So there's lots of paper. And then the real estate. So what this person has very intelligently done is bought a piece of real estate, hopefully for very little, sold it to somebody on terms, and they're making payments. They created a note. It's let's just call it a mortgage note. So this person's using the property somehow, making monthly payments. And after about 6 months or so, you have a financial instrument that you can do stuff with. You have an income stream in the future that can be brought back to present value and valued. Here's a great aside note. We all know David Bowie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was the first one to, he cut the record in the 80s that he was famous for hating, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so,
Let's Dance and all that's on there. Yeah, he didn't like doing that album.
So the future...
That was money-making only.
Right. So all his money now is coming in back then for royalties. And theoretically, now you're supposed to get royalties anyway. It's different with the internet. So he issued a bond against the future income stream of these songs.
Album? Yeah.
Made like $20 or $30 million. It's a huge number. Unheard of at the time.
Right.
And so this is the exact kind of situation where... You have a lot of options, and so what this person's asking is, what are the typical terms? So what usually happens is if you have tons and tons of money expected to come in, let's just say $100,000, it gets discounted. All notes get discounted to hedge off risk, which is really kind of what this show is about. It's diversifying risk. So if you got $100,000 of future value, you have to bring it back to present value. Let's just say it's $50,000 or $20,000. I know these numbers are not real. And then take a discount from there. So look at it from the seller's perspective. He's got a property that's maybe he purchased for, I don't know, $4,000, $5,000, $8,000. He sold it for $20,000 or $30,000 on terms. And the value of, you know, he's going to get way more than he paid. And he's going to turn over those payments to the person who buys the note.
Well, that's great, Steve. But
how bad was that?
That was pretty bad. That was really great. That was notes.
Am I oversimplifying?
That was your congratulations. You just attended Notes 101 by Stephen Butella and Finance 101. That'll count for Finance 200 and Notes 101. All combined together.
Wow.
So I'm sorry, but you lost me a little bit because I appreciate where you're going with that, but.
What he's asking is, what's
I have an 8,000. Well, let me even simplify. Here's what I think he's asking. I sold the property on terms It's an $8,000, $150 a month. I want some cash out of this. What can I do? I just figured out the whole note thing, by the way. I didn't even know what to call it a note, by the way. I don't know if he even used that. Well, he did use the term note, but he just learned this whole process of seller financing. So now he's asking, what's the next step? What can I do? So for new people, please, what would you suggest? Like, don't do it. B, yes, you can do it, but you have to do it this way. Or C, if there's a C.
Well, there's three ways that these type of financial instruments get reviewed. Number one, the credit of the person who's making the payments, the actual credit score. Number two, the asset type. In this case, it's probably rural vacant land.
Right.
And number three, the history of how many payments they've made. So nobody usually talks about notes at all for the first 6 months.
Until you have a history. So what if, let me just say, I'm a new guy and you're a new guy too. And you're like, you know what, I'll take that note. I'll give you $3,000 and I'll take this over. Or is that how it works?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? Okay.
That's exactly how it works.
Okay. So, because we're both new. And by the way, I'm not going through a big bank. I'm not going through, you know, Schwab or, you know, any big finance company. I'm just doing it, you and me. So how would, say I have this note. I mean, and I don't mean to be picking on you. I apologize.
You are.
Well, I'm trying not to pick on you, but I'm trying to explain to everyone. So the first part, the scholars got the first part. I'm talking to everyone else.
Okay.
I'm talking to me.
I'll stay at the 35,000 foot
talk
level.
Talk to me.
I don't know how I could do that without explaining what I just did, but I'll answer your question.
So I have to put it on paper. How about this? So if I want to sell you a note to free up some cash, I need to come to you and say, hey, Steve, here's the deal. I've got this note. This guy's paid 6 months of payments. And you don't know how much I pay for the property, or maybe you do. I don't know. I'm already paid out. So look, I'm going to give it to you for $4,000 because I'm good. I'm good. I already got paid out now, you know, with the $4,000. You can keep going because you're going to get $8,000 in the end because I'm, you know, they pay $150 a month. There's interest. It's got 6 more years of payments, whatever it is. And then everybody's happy?
Yes.
Okay.
Just to end this conversation, I'm just going to say yes because it's way more complicated than that.
So what's the right way to do it?
It depends on the person who's buying the note and if they're comfortable buying land. That's the real issue here. If it's a house, you're going to find people are going to fall over themselves to get into that asset. If it's a rural vacant land, you're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody to buy a note that's backed by rural vacant land. For the same reason, it's very difficult to find a lender in a traditional sense to lend against rural vacant land.
All right. That answers this person's question.
In general, you can bank on a 50% reduction in the face value of the note. So if you've got $8,000, the value of the but it would be impossible for me to say that without the intro there.
I love that though. Now I got the answers. Thank you.
Today's topic, diversify risk with multiple lines of revenue. This is the meat of the show. You have a clear idea about how you want this to go? So go ahead.
No, I don't. Please, I just got confused there, Stephen. And I love that you're PhD level, and that's who you are. I just wanted to help a few other people.
What do you think diversifying risk means? What does it mean to you?
Having not all your eggs in one basket. What?
Now we're down to the kindergarten level.
What?
Do you want to define what an egg is and why that saying matters? Because eggs are breakable.
Go ahead.
I don't. I'm asking
you
a question.
No. Thank you. You go.
No, go ahead, Jill. I think that you need to explain this to kindergartners. So
no,
go ahead.
I don't. Please, please.
Because people at the PhD level know about risk of diversification. So
okay.
I don't need to actually explain it today.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I don't have anything else to talk about. The way that I wanted to present this and the way that it's going to ultimately be presented is just like the intro.
Ready.
No, I want to hear the kindergarten level of eggs in a basket. Or is that it?
That's it.
Just
I'm
a sound bite?
I'm good.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket sound bite.
I'm good.
Here's what Jill and I do very successfully to diversify risk. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest questions we get at our live events is this. If you guys could go back and change anything or change something, what would you do? Or what's the biggest mistake you made? And it's always the same answer for me. Around 2000, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10, somewhere around there, the economy really caught up with us from a financial standpoint. And this is slightly before I met Joe. And we had one line of business. We were purchasing rural vacant land, very inexpensive rural vacant land, and reselling it on the internet, mostly on eBay, almost exclusively on eBay. So we had no risk diversification at all. We had a single product type and a single channel of sales, and we paid for it. So my answer to that, and it took a couple of years to rebound seriously and get us back on track, was to create different lines of revenue. And not only that, but create different lines of sales channels for those multiple types of real estate. So for us, it was rural vacant land, then we moved into infill lots, and then we're now heavily into wholesaling houses. Those are our three main product types. And then outside of that, we have, these companies that we have, like Offers to Owners and Land Academy itself, that are slightly profitable. So we've really diversified our risk with multiple lines of revenue. So how does that apply to, let's say, a new person or somebody who's at the intermediate level? At the very least, because it's the same process and it's so easy to add a product line. We've done this on purpose, by the way. If you're selling rural vacant land already, it's so easy to go into infill lots. We just released Land Academy 2.0, which is all about buying and selling infill lots and using the exact same methodology that you're already using. It's just a new product type. And then I think in January, we're slated to release House Academy. So you can successfully add that, because I don't want this to happen to anybody. I don't want what happened to us to happen to our members. So if you've got three good solid product types and you're not really adding any staff or any real fixed costs to achieve this, that's what we're going for. That's what this really, really is all about. It's like Walmart introducing a new line of toasters, or placing the toasters in a more sales-driven spot in their store. They're always changing out new stuff, and that's what you want to be doing.
How would you feel about, say it's a newer member, or just someone who's only done land? Maybe they're not necessarily new. So someone who's been doing land for 2 years, right? And they're doing is the same, property type over and over and over again. But they perfected things like pulling reports and doing due diligence, and they perfected posting property for sale. Would that even be? What if they created a service like that and sold it to other people?
That's brilliant.
Thank you.
That's brilliant. Like, let's say you love the paperwork part of, there's a dramatic lack of good transaction coordinators on this planet for what we do. So, yeah, if you love, the escrow titles part of this, I think that's brilliant.
Thank you.
I don't know, but I bet if I went out and looked out there, if there's some kind of show about it,
yeah.
Like we have a show about this stuff, I bet there's not.
I bet there's not, too. Could you imagine transaction coordinator podcast and all I do is talk about the deals that are going on every day? That would be hilarious. I would listen to that because it would be a disaster. It would make me feel really good.
I took a marketing class a long time ago, and they said they use this water. If you're a water heater installer example, and their whole point to the marketing class was, who the heck wants to listen or watch a show about installation of water heaters?
Oh.
No one. You know what they want to hear about? The crazy stories that go on.
Exactly.
With the person who answered the door naked, or whatever. You could do a whole show on installing water heaters. It's not about water heaters.
Exactly.
You can make a show about anything.
You sure can.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening or watching the Land Academy show, and you caught a little bit of an argument between Jill and I. Join us next time where we discuss beginner and intermediate groups of Land Academy, which was what our argument was about.
And answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You know I love you.
Thank you, and I love you too.
I was trying to think back if we had a spat on a show before.
I'm not sure anybody knew it was a spat until you kind of spelled it out. That was good.
It was a
though.
Spat.
Okay.
Not for you. I'm spelling it out for you.
No, I was just saying, if you're only listening, you should probably go watch the YouTube video because you could see steam coming out of Steven's ears. Literally, there was steam. It's worth watching this one.
Jill just loves pushing my buttons.
Please be sure and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on our podcast. Like us and comment on what you would like to see. Hopefully not about arguments in future shows. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.